The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Well, I've been talking about Line of Duty a lot only because it's pretty spectacular. Back on the screen, 6 series about Police Anti-Corruption Unit AC-12. It's one of the only TV series really that people are sitting down to watch in real time because they release one episode a week. And Amy Devrune plays Steph Corbett. She joins the line. Amy, good morning. Nice to talk to you again.
Good morning. It's lovely to talk to you too.
You know, the truth of the matter is, Amy, when I was watching you on the show last week, I get a shot of pride to see a great Irish actor on this big, successful TV show. And congratulations and well done. You're really brilliant at it.
Oh, thank you so much. I so appreciate it because it's definitely been a long road. So to be on a show like that, especially at a time like this, just feels incredible.
Tell me briefly about the long road.
Of my journey.
Yeah, your journey.
I started when I was 19. I went to drama school in London, and from there it was just a lot of, you know, writing my own shows, creating my own theatre companies, just doing tiny parts and, you know, in independent films and things like that. And then slowly, you know, things start to come in and you build up your CV and you keep going. But it's definitely felt like, you know, a slow build. But I think at the same time, I learned so much from it. And I feel like if I'd gotten a job like this straight out of drama school, I just wouldn't be able to handle it. You know, like my mental health even wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yes.
Because it's quite, you know, it's all kind of all consuming and, you know, all eyes on you and all that kind of thing.
But you're equipped.
Yeah. Like I'm older now. I've put the work in. I've done the work on myself. I've done the work on my craft and I know that a job is a job. You know, it's no reflection really on me as a human being, like me as Amy the person. You know, I want to do a good job as Amy the actor, but I've been able to, over the years, separate myself from my craft in a good way, in a healthy way.
Of course. I was talking to an author recently, Megan Nolan, and she went to Trinity and lasted a year and just said, nah, it's just not for me. And off she went and now is a very successful writer. That kind of mirrors your experience a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I sort of left school and it was kind of at that time, you know, drama schools weren't so much a thing over here back then, you know, like it was a much smaller industry and all of that. And so I kind of in my back of my head thought, oh, maybe London for drama school. But is that even a possibility? It wasn't on the CAO form and all of that. So I just put down English in Trinity and got it and kind of arrived there. And I was going, what am I doing here? Like there was people who had this, you know, insane knowledge of everything to do with English. And I was kind of going, I loved reading plays, but I wanted to be doing them. I didn't want to be sort of studying them in that kind of, you know, in that way.
Yes.
So, and I just kind of took a leap. I wasn't well. I lasted a couple of months, wasn't very well. And my mum is really good. My mum's the type of person who's like, if you don't like it, just leave, you know, there's no, you've nothing to prove, you know? So, it was actually the best thing I ever did. Yeah.
But did you say you weren't well?
It was like I had glandular fever basically, but when I look back on it, it was very, you could see it was stress and, you know,
it was related to the,
it was totally related to not being happy.
But wasn't your mum in the same, or sorry, I don't know if she's still in the same business or she's retired or whatever, but wasn't she from a similar background? Is that right?
Yeah. So she used to be my speech and drama teacher.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She's actually going to be in a film as well. She's got a part in the film, The Green Knight. That'll be
great.
So she kind of and does a bit of directing as well. She's directed my one woman shows. So it's and my older sister's an actor as well. So it's definitely in the family for sure. So you know, kind of to leave somewhere like Trinity and say I want to be an actor was not going to be kind of like, what are you doing? You know, it was. It was accessible. It felt accessible.
Great. So there's no gig and unhappy Christmas meals. It was just great. Just keep going. Follow your dream. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
So then before you know it, you're in Jason Bourne with Matt Damon. Yeah. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, that was a nice moment for sure.
You know, when he became kind of the patron saint of Ireland for about 6 months there during the COVID, the first lockdown.
I know. I thought that was so hilarious. But like, it is a testament to him because he is quite like, from having like my scenes particularly weren't with him, we were chasing him, but he was on set a couple of the days, and from meeting him he is exceptionally normal. And I hate saying that because everybody's normal, you know, but in terms of kind of, he doesn't have the sort of, he's capable of having a conversation, you know, that's a normal human conversation.
Let me ask you about Line of Duty in terms of the fact that you play Steph Corbett, who's Liverpoolian. And we've talked briefly about this, but we'll go over some of the ground, because your accent to me is so brilliant, and because it's quality Liverpoolian. Did you have to obviously audition and do a read through for that? Did you do it in full Liverpoolian when you did that? And if so, who or what were you channeling?
I auditioned in the accent. The read-through in the last series was in the accent, and then again in this one. So, I always just say a misspent youth watching Brookside was what I was channeling. It was literally like, I used to be obsessed with that program. As a child, which is very strange, but there you go.
No. It was a great, funny enough, as a younger person, Brookside had a certain edge to it remember Brian Murray and the under the patio, and it was all these stories.
Yeah.
The storylines were just, they had a bit more of an edge to them, I think.
Yeah, and I remember someone being pushed off scaffolding and, you know, oh, brilliant. It was, great.
So you channeled Brookside.
So I channeled Brookside, and then I was doing it, when I was doing the first read through, I think I only found out just before I was doing the first read through that Stephen Graham was playing my husband.
Yeah.
And then you get the fear because you're going, oh God, he's going to find, I'm going to be found out. But he said he didn't know I wasn't from Liverpool.
Well, that's such a compliment, because you're obviously so good at it that, because there are plenty of actors from Liverpool they could have cast in this role, and you know they got you because obviously you shone through. And he is, I was watching him in that the Amber murder case, the program I never remember the name of. He's a super actor, as you know, and just for, not to get into too much detail about Line of Duty, because if you haven't seen, it's quite boring to hear people talk about it. But it's he's dead. And you came back to this season, and I was going, what's Amy doing here?
I know.
Are you doing here? You weren't meant to be kind of gone off weeping into your cornflakes. What are you doing back? And you've had two encounters with two of the main characters. I'm going, what is she up to?
Oh, it's so brilliant. Yeah, because you get like, I sort of left the program going, that was a gorgeous gig. That was beautiful. Like, I loved it. I got on really well, and I knew that the writer, Jed, had liked my work, because he did bring me back for the feature-length finale in Series 5. And then I got the call, and I'd actually just had like my little girl, and I was kind of going like dying to get back to work, and then I got the call kind of going, well, we think they might be bringing you back, will you be available? I was like, oh yes. Yes. It's just an incredible it's a incredible thing to go back to, and a real and Jed is such a good writer. When you finish the series, it'll all make sense, but it's just it's just incredible to be back. It is a dream, like a dream come true, really, because it was really a dream job. It really was. And to come back, it is a real kind of a mark of like, okay, I did an okay job. Because you kind of do your job and you go, was that okay? Okay,
yeah, of course.
That's grand, but hopefully nobody is horrified by it, you know.
Oh, but Amy, like I'm talking to you going, oh, I really want to ask you what happens, but then I don't want to know. Because that's what the point of a good drama or a good book is. You don't want to ask somebody what's happening in the next chapter, because then that's what's the point. You've got to earn the pain and the fact that it's dropping every week. This is like Dallas in the 80s. Like, who's H? Who shot JR? Like, this is intriguing.
Because the first episode that we watched, it was so funny. We just sat there and then we were like, oh God, we can't binge this. We've just been spending a whole year binging everything.
But isn't that, I think that's really putting manners on us.
Yes, it is. And I think that was kind of a point of it. Like, I saw that the BBC had said, no, we're doing it the old-fashioned way. And that's, it gives you so much more. It gives you stuff, things to talk about. And it was so funny. My sister was going, that's great now, Amy. That'll get us through the next few weeks. You know, we've got this to focus on.
And, you know, even upstairs, we're all fans. And the comment was made, you know, do you remember the Glen Rowe fear that you get at 8:30 and you hear the sick tune and your nerves were gone because you knew school was the next day? Well, with Line of Duty, when you hear the music at the end, you go, oh.
Yes.
Is it next week yet? No.
Oh my God.
I can't believe Amy's back. What's she doing? And Dunbar, I still don't know whether I love him or hate him. I don't get this. Do we have to wait a whole week? Oh, I can't take it. I'd like to binge everything. Who's kidding? Who and why? Oh, for jeepers. Sorry, I just lost the plot there.
It takes you somewhere. It takes like that music. And I always raise my fist really slowly in the air after each episode ends. Like, I really do when that music comes on.
I was sent a website, or at least a page or two, on the day after the first episode, with an explaining note of all the acronyms.
Oh, stop. I know.
Because Jed Mercurio loves a good acronym.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a devil for them. So much so that when everyone's going, what's CHIZ? And we can do the finar's later, but everyone's saying, you know, you've got to get his hands on the CHIZ and so on. And everyone was laughing into their sleeve going, but then, what is it? And obviously people, like somebody said earlier on, sent in a text going, oh, we Googled it immediately. I didn't. And then the credits come up and this happened.
Next episode, next Sunday at 9. CHIZ, if you're wondering, is a covert human intelligence source for more.
Oh!
Yes, I love the way they did that. Because
yeah, so do I.
The announcer there was going like, no one is going to know.
just in case you're wondering, a CHIZ. Yeah, exactly. So are you watching it with the family on a Sunday? What's happening? Are you kind of on a WhatsApp group with the sisters?
So it's myself and my husband watching it. And very funny though, like last week, like, baby's always in bed by then, but last week she was sort of like, she was up till about 8, and I was going, you want to watch this too, you will go to sleep.
How old is she?
She's 21 months now, so she's nearly 2, like she's not even, I say baby, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah. So
I was kind of like trying to get her down, and then I've got the sisters and my parents on a WhatsApp group, and it's like, rah, you know, and then the best friend on the other. It's very funny, and I actually had to just put the phone down on silent and just be able to watch it because it's going, I need to like take in this moment.
You know what? I was saying this earlier on in the week that when I'm watching it, I'm watching another thing called Gomorra at the moment, which is an Italian, basically love hate based in Naples. And because it's I have to read it because it's subtitles. I don't touch my phone. You know the way you're kind of messing on the phone. Whereas, and actually, I find Line of Duty exactly the same because it needs your attention.
Yeah.
No messing on the phone. Watch it because it's so. They could be flicking through a file and there'd be a picture in the file. You go, that's relevant too. Every bit of it is used. There's no fat on the bone.
And I love how there's so many little clues dropped everywhere, and you know. And stuff that I'm not even picking up on, and then like I see someone's theory, and I'm like, "Whoa, that's really interesting!" Like you saw a thing somewhere, and you know.
We have to. Well, Adrian Dunbar is joining us on the Late Late Show tonight.
Lucky you guys,
and lucky us. And so we'll have to talk to him about. Well, he's obviously this and so much more. But you had a little encounter with him on the episode just gone by. You had Steve giving you the glad eye in between his pill popping. We all know what a CHIZ is now, thank God. And there's so much more to come. So, Amy, I obviously I'm not going to ask you, can I be part of your WhatsApp group? Because I'll be
you'll of course you can. We're best buds now.
Yeah, it's true.
As always.
A, you'll have to take an injunction out on me. But B, also, I don't want to be on my phone watching this thing because it's great.
I know. That's
but
the thing.
I'm delighted for you because you're just so good at what you do. And I was really keen to talk to you because, you know, the flag is flying for Ireland on this big British drama, and today's radio show and the Late Late Tonight with Adrian Dunbar and yourself, top entertaining with two Irish great actors flying the flag for us on the talk of the town. So good on you, Amy. Congratulations. And
Thank you so much.
See you soon. Might have to talk to you after the season ends just to say, what? But in the meantime...
Can I wish my nephew a quick happy birthday?
Yes, what's his name?
Birthday on Sunday. Riley, and he's going to be 14 on Sunday, and it's his second lockdown birthday. So
God's sake, Riley, happy birthday.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. We give him a round of applause?
Yeah.
Come on, Riley. Stay strong. It's nearly over. Okay, we got that. Amy, anything else? Any other business?
And I just want to thank you for just doing such a great job. You've been keeping us all going, because I've been tuning into you on the radio, giving, you know, the bab at the breakfast in the mornings, and on the bad days, it's like, It's a good tonic.
You're very kind to that. And you know something, Amy? I do it all on my own. Not a person working. I come in here, I turn on the lights, I make myself a little cup of coffee, and I look out to the sky and I think, it's a lonely world, you know?
It really is.
It's really
all that work you're putting in yourself.
all on my,
not. And then the others come in around half nine, ten, saunter in, you know, having a look. Okay, but you're very kind. Can you ask Amy, quick question from Pat and Drum Condor about the house your character lives in.
Yeah.
On the show, the view from the house is spectacular, especially in the nighttime scenes. But it appears to be a normal house and not a Dermot Bannon job. So what's the story?
Yeah, it's just a house. A locations manager finds a house. So it's just basically, it's actually someone's house that they've given for the production, basically. And and it's in Belfast, just up the hill. Yeah, and
perfect.
It's beautiful, gorgeous view.
Oh, so of course, Belfast. We mentioned that during the week. The George Best's house was featured in it last week, or at least at some stage. So that's where it was all going on. Amy, keep going on, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.
Okay,
Brian.
Great talking
to you.
Bye for now. That's Amy Daroon, my new WhatsApp pal for Sunday nights with her family, joining us on the phone this morning. As I could say, Adrian Dunbar. I haven't a clue who H is, by the way. But he is Ted Hastings. Everyone's going to think now I know who H is. I do not know who or what H is. 13 minutes to 10.